So we're going to begin the show today by talking about the events that many of our listeners, I'm sure, were following throughout the day in Ottawa as one shooter or multiple shooters opened fire inside of Parliament. Just the latest from CBC is that one soldier has died of his wounds. That was the soldier who was shot by the war memorial, and the gunman was also shot dead inside Parliament. Of course, a lot of the media are using the this tragic situation in Ottawa already, you know, calling it terrorism, using it as a drumbeat to war. So to get kind of a critical perspective about what's happening on the ground right now in Ottawa and also in a bit of a larger context, we're joined by longtime anti-war activist Matthew Behrens, who was with the group Homes Not Bombs in Ottawa. Matthew, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me today.
So to begin, I mean, you're in Ottawa. Maybe just give your kind of general impressions about what happened today and what has life been like there.
Well, I think it's a little taste of what Canadian policy does abroad brought home. You know, if you look at what Canada is embarking on in the Ukraine, in Iraq, our support for coups in Honduras or in Haiti, a little bit of that fear came home. And so when I saw what was happening today, my first reaction obviously was sadness, because no one should ever be exposed to that kind of fear and violence. And I feel horrible about the young man who was killed at the Cenotaph there in downtown Ottawa. But it reminded me a lot of what Malcolm X said when John Kennedy was assassinated, and he got a lot of flack for it, but he said it's an example of the chickens coming home to roost. And at that time, he was saying, look, the United States is a government that at that point in time was trying to murder the president of Cuba, Fidel Castro. It had murdered the president of the Congo. It was involved in coups around the globe. It was involved in assassination programs. And that violence came back to haunt the Kennedy administration and the United States. That's not to justify it at all, but it's to say that when you start messing around with violence, why are we surprised when it bites us in the rear end? And so I was looking at what was going on there today and listening especially to the fear in the voices, the very real fear of the traumatized voices of journalists, you know, from the CBC and CTV, who were locked down inside of Parliament. And I was thinking, for the first time, perhaps for many in their lives, they realized what it's going to be like if you're an Iraqi under the CF-18s, which will be dropping bombs on you, not just for a few hours, but for months on end. So a lot of, you know, deeply held emotions today, but also an opportunity to reflect on what are we doing? Where is this violence coming from? And how are we contributing to an atmosphere in which someone would go off and do this horrible act that took place today in Ottawa?
Mm-hmm. Let's again bring it back to kind of the larger context that we're talking about. And of course, you referenced Malcolm X and that idea of the chickens coming home to roost. So Canada's involvement in war overseas, you know, we've seen in the last weeks, of course, Stephen Harper being very adamant, making plans to send Canadian armed forces to Iraq to fight against ISIS. We've also seen, of course, this week, the attacks that happened just south of Montreal in Saint-Jean-sur-Richelieu against soldiers there. And this, I think one of the more frightening things, again, about, you know, what we're seeing is that the media really focusing on either the ethnicity or the religion of the the suspects or perpetrators, you know, being Muslims. We already heard eyewitnesses today describing, you know, the suspected gunmen as either having beards, you know, looking kind of Islamic or Arab. We heard people saying, and Matthew, you've been working for years, I know, on anti-racist issues. You know, looking at, for example, the example of security certificates. I'm wondering if you kind of maybe situate situate this in a context that we've seen of, you know, these kind of the drums beating for war, and also looking at Islamophobia and wider racism in this country?
Well, war is never compatible with democracy, ever. And I think every time you go to war, you lose something with respect to the democratic fabric at home. And there's an ongoing war that's being waged, as you mentioned, against very specific targeted communities, many of whom are Muslim, South Asian, Arabic communities. And CSIS and the RCMP are constantly knocking on people's doors, harassing folks, and demanding that they spy on their own community. And yeah, it was very disturbing once again that that inference was being made today. And I think a lot of community leaders in those communities are very concerned that there's going to be an uptick in violence, physical violence, psychological, verbal violence. You know, we saw with the Charter of Values in Quebec just how much violence came to the surface as a result of that. You know, in this context of beheadings and constantly equating terrorism with Islam, it's going to be a dangerous time going forward. And we don't see leaders, either Mr. Harper or even in the opposition, really standing out on a limb and saying, wait a second here, we've got to watch our language. We've got to be careful about what we're saying here. But nonetheless, you know, everybody is buying into this radicalization language, which is very dangerous because nobody really knows what it means. You know, they're saying, for example, the RCMP, their external relations coordinator who liaises with these targeted communities, says one of the ways that you can tell someone's being radicalized is if they don't have what we would call a standard geopolitical view. In other words, if you criticize Israel for bombing Gaza, that's not a standard geopolitical view from the Harper and RCMP standpoint. Therefore, you are suspect and could be radicalized and get a house visit from the RCMP. So that's the kind of atmosphere which exists already, and I think that's going to certainly escalate in the coming days and weeks, unfortunately. And it's a challenge for all of us to speak out against that and to walk with those communities and refuse to allow the RCMP and CSIS to continue that kind of terrorization.
Mm-hmm. So again, we're speaking with Matthew Behrens of the group Homes Not Bombs in Ottawa. Matthew, that group Homes Not Bombs, you guys held a demonstration on Parliament Hill just a little while ago when Canada's involvement in Iraq was being debated. Tell us a little about that and some of the other wider anti-war efforts that you've been involved in.
Well, Homes Not Bombs members have been involved in protesting wars against Iraq going back to the 1980s. And, you know, back when the Iraqi regime was an ally of Canada and the United States and taking in weapons and chemicals that were used in chemical weapons attacks. And then all of a sudden Hussein became the bad guy. But we were on the Hill to say war is never a solution. And we wanted to point out some of the contradictions in the decision to go to war. One of the most significant of which is Harper was using the beheadings that ISIS was engaged in and saying these people are barbaric. And yet the Harper government had recently completed a $14 billion weapons deal with the Saudi regime. And Saudi Arabia is a government that regularly beheads people. 18 people were beheaded in August in Saudi Arabia. And so why is it okay for Saudi Arabia to do that? And they get rewarded with the largest weapons deal in Canadian history, but it's not okay for ISIS to do that. I don't think it's okay for either party to do that. But again, it shows how selective and politicized this whole issue is. It also comes at a time when the Canadian War Department was being asked to cut its budget by a couple of $1 billion. Well, you can see that there is just great glory and glee in the boardrooms of weapons manufacturers across this country because their bullets and their drone components and the stuff that's going to go into the making of cluster bombs or whatever else is being used, they're going to be making a killing off of this war. So we wanted to be on the Hill to say, not only Harper should say no to war, but also the opposition should take a principled stand against the war. You know, the stand that was being taken by the NDP and the Liberals was pretty wishy-washy. It was, they wanted a little bit more consultation and they wanted timelines, and they didn't get that in the end, it's just wrong. Especially when you have the head of the armed forces, Tom Lawson, the chief warlord in Canada. He was asked on the weekend about the Canadian mission over Iraq, and he said, yes, there will be so-called collateral damage, i.e. civilian casualties, but he said they will not be at an unreasonable level. So essentially, these bombers that took off yesterday from CFB Cold Lake, they will be dropping bombs on communities, and they will be making a call about what's reasonable civilian casualties and unreasonable, neither of which is defined. In other words, we're going to be murdering people from the sky, as the Canadian military and all of us as taxpayers are paying for this.
Sure. We're going to go back to Stefan. He's got a question.
It's too bad. It's like, we remember Canada. We were peacekeepers. Now we're losing that. And I just want to hear your view about that.
Well, I think, you know, it's interesting that you raise that question, Stefan, because the Canadian mythology is so strong that we actually believe that Canada was a peacekeeper at some point in our history. But when you actually look at it, and Eve Engler wrote an excellent book on this, and there's increasing amount of criticism coming up that shows that Canada has never been a peacemaker. Even if you look at the myth of 2003 in the Iraq War, Mr. Chrétien is going around beating his breast saying, we were great, we weren't part of the war. Well, there were 1,000 Canadian troops in the Gulf who were ferrying the U.S. Navy as it was launching cruise missiles against the Iraqi people. We had troops on the ground. Walter Natinjik, who used to be the chief warlord in this country, he was head of coalition forces in Baghdad. And so it goes on and on. So I think, you know, in the same way that today's coverage was based on a lot of Canadian mythology, people kept talking about the hallowed halls of Parliament as if Parliament is this wonderful, beautiful place where democracy is happening all the time. And yet anyone who's looked at what's gone on in the last 8 or 9 years of Harperism knows it's not a very beautiful and hallowed place. It's a place where decisions are made that have very destructive impacts on human beings. Craig Oliver on CTV today was saying, today marked an end of innocence for Canada. And you have to, again, step back from that and say, what innocence? This government and corporations in this country, and you're going to have a guest from Mining Watch on later in the program who will speak to this, is involved in the projection of violence around the world, creating unlivable situations for millions of people. And then when some of them come here as refugees trying to find asylum, we do everything in our power to block them from getting into the country and then treating them as a national security threat. Mm-hmm. So I think, you know, today, again, is an opportunity for us to actually say we need to take a collective breath and have a discussion about something that Harper doesn't like to hear called root causes. What was the cause of today's horrible act? We don't know. However, there's a context in which it's taking place, and that context requires us to look at our role in global violence and in homegrown violence. And by homegrown violence, I mean the acts of domestic terror that take place in homes across this country on a daily basis. A lot of people were justifiably upset when a young soldier was run over earlier this week in Quebec, but that same act took place in Arnprior, Ontario, 3 weeks ago, in which a man ran over his wife in a so-called domestic act. Mm-hmm. So what's the difference? Why is one terror and not the other, especially when the thing that took place in Arnprior you probably didn't hear about? Because it happens so often to women in this country.
We're just about out of time. Again, we've been speaking with Matthew Behrens from Homes Not Bombs in Ottawa about the situation unfolding there today. And again, of course, these are critical times where the government government and the media are beating the drum of war, and it's important for everyone to step up actions against the war. The Canadian Peace Alliance is calling for a week of actions against war happening this weekend, October 25th and 26th, in communities all across the country. Here in Montreal, Échec à la guerre will be organizing a demonstration against the Third Iraq War. That's going to be happening Sunday, October 26th, 1 p.m. at Dorchester Square. Matthew, thanks so much for joining us today.
My pleasure. Thank you.